Welcome to the Campbell Conversations. My guest today is Jason Smorrell, the general manager of the Syracuse Chiefs. Jason is in his second year in the position. He's known as a minor league turnaround expert, having made his previous mark with the Auburn Doubledays. He's also had experiences in Watertown, Batavia, and Staten Island. Jason, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Grant. I appreciate it.
As a general manager of the Chiefs, it seems like you've got three challenges with this team, which are interrelated: the on-field performance of the team, crowd attendance, and the financial health of the organization. So let's try to start with breaking them down a little bit. First, your role with the team itself and the players. You're not heavily involved in the on-field aspects of the team and the personnel decisions. Is that correct?
Exactly. Not at all. What goes on in the field, the things that we have no control over, is the weather and what goes on in between the lines. And I was actually out in the outfield the other day during batting practice with one of our pitchers, Evan Meek, trying to coordinate a time to get together for one of the fans that was back from the military, and he wanted to meet some players. And Evan Meek is very pro the military guys coming back, and he said, "Yeah, why don't you just have the guy, you know, come out here and shag flies with us for during batting practice." And Tony Gwynn Jr. turned around and said, "You better ask the skip about that first." I said, he said, "You're the general manager. You can do what you want." I said, "What goes on in between the lines, I talked to the skipper about. Everything outside the lines is on me."
And the budget of the organization of the Chiefs that you manage, it does not include the players' salaries, right? Those are determined
Correct.
And paid by the major league.
Yeah, a lot of people will be surprised about that. It's a standard player development contract that every minor league team is the same. So we have a deal with Major League Baseball. There's 160 major league teams. If the Washington Nationals decided to up and leave Syracuse, Major League Baseball is required to put somebody in Syracuse, New York. So we have one of those 160 spots. And, you know, we're responsible for the bats, the balls, the travel, things of that nature. But the insurance and the workers' comp for the players and the salaries, that's all part of the Washington Nationals.
And in terms of a performance on the field, the team was up last year. Mm-hmm. It's down this year. Mm-hmm. That happens in the majors, too. Mm-hmm. But is minor league baseball even more volatile in that respect than the majors?
I think it is because you don't have the same guys.
Yeah.
So you're always getting new players. And, you know, maybe franchises have a system. Maybe they have they're stockpiled, you know, and their minor leagues are very good. But in the offseason, anything can happen. You know, that the player to be named later is coming from the minor leagues. So you could trade Steven Sousa Jr., which the Nationals did, and their two draft picks that they got are now with the Syracuse Chiefs, Joe Ross and Trey Turner. And it has dramatically changed our team because we were really bad. But Joe Ross is the number three prospect in the Nationals organization now. And Trey Turner is the number nine prospect in all of baseball. And he's now with the Syracuse Chiefs. So it's very fluid at the best.
And that reminds me actually of something that Jerry Seinfeld once said about Major League Baseball and noting the effect of free agency, that rooting for a baseball team is kind of like rooting for laundry. and you've brought this up. I would think that the minors, as you said, they've got that problem in spades, people moving up, people moving down, as you say, being traded.
Yeah, at the end of the year, they take your players.
So how does that affect team loyalty and the ability to attract people to come in and follow the team and kind of keep track of it and watch it play because you've got that connection to people, which seems important?
Well, I think that it would be nice, you know, but, you know, on the player side of it, you know, we all in Syracuse love Stu Peterson because he was in Syracuse for 8 years. Well, it's not good for Stu Peterson to play baseball for 8 years in Syracuse. He wanted to get to the Blue Jays. You know, so we have to brand to the Chiefs. You know, we have Scooch and we have Pops and we have affordable family fun. And the Chiefs have been here for over 100 years. And we need to sell the fact that the baseball is fantastic and that you're going to see the stars of tomorrow today, and you're going to get a chance to see Nick Swisher, who was here this year, or the Trey Turner, to say, "I saw Trey Turner. You know, last year I saw Steven Sousa Jr. make a great, you know, hit a grand slam to, for the Chiefs to win one game. When Steven Souza Jr. has hit 12 or 13 home runs in the big leagues this year. This season alone, you're seeing Taylor Hill and Taylor Jordan, and they go up and down, and A.J. Cole. So one day they're pitching for the Chiefs, the next day they're pitching for the Washington Nationals. They might come back depending upon what's needed. So I think the aspect that we are really trying to focus on is the Chiefs, is the experience, is the local nature of that, and then seeing the stars of tomorrow today for a very affordable price. And that's the thing that people say. I remember Mac Jones. I remember seeing Jackie Robinson play here. I talked to some of the old-timers. You know, they saw Jackie Robinson play in 1946. People remember seeing Thurman Munson play here. People remember seeing Carlos Delgado play here. People remember seeing Sean Green play here. So people remember seeing Bryce Harper and Steven Strasburg playing here for $5. That is what we're trying to sell.
I'm Grant Reher, and I'm speaking with the Syracuse Chiefs general manager, Jason Smorrell. On this point, you mentioned Stu Peterson before. So are there players who tend to settle in and stay with a team and make their name there? And he's one, but have there been others in Syracuse that kind of fit this Bull Durham kind
of? Sure. And then Bull Durham, that might be the guy from Toledo Mudhens right now, Mike Hessman. You know, he's in his upper 30s. He's hit over 400 home runs in the minor leagues. And he's been with Toledo forever. If they need somebody quick for a pinch hitter or somebody gets hurt, they want to bring him up. They'll bring him up for a couple of days, send him back down to Toledo. But Syracuse has had a ton of those guys, whether it's Boomer Wells, Stu Peterson, you know, Jonathan Solano recently, he'd been with Syracuse. He was the catcher for the Washington Nationals. He'd been with Syracuse for 4 years. Last year, he made the All-Star team. This year, he's playing for the Miami Marlins. But to a lesser extent, you know, Jonathan Solano never had the Stu chant or the Boomer. He didn't have the name that worked out for that. But there's organizational guys, and at AAA, it's that mixture of prospects, the Trey Turners, the Joe Rosses, the Taylor Jordans, mixed with, 4A players, guys with major league experience. Right now we have Chris Nelson, who's played almost 300 games in the major leagues. And if they need somebody to play first base, to play shortstop tomorrow at the major league level, they need to have a guy that they can count on. So they stash that veteran player here. They have the prospects ready to come up, and they just kind of hope that it all works out. Because at the end of the day, it's about the Washington Nationals, the product on the field. They want to make sure that they are protecting themselves to win the World Series.
And you mentioned before how you're trying to brand the experience and the local aspect of it, the team itself, as opposed to necessarily the individual players on the team. So the attendance for the Chiefs right now is the worst in the league. Mm-hmm. But the good news is it's slightly up over last year, I understand.
Correct. Yes.
So tell me a bit about what you've been trying to do to attract more people. What kinds of things have been working best so far?
Affordable family fun. That's what we're all about. So we really focused on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We really made an effort to, whether it's April or May, work hard when it's 46 degrees out and, you know, put our good promotions out there. We want to have dollar value. You know, our most expensive seat is $12. Our least expensive seat is $5. And to be able to come to the ballpark, bring your family. I have two little girls and a wife. So, you know, when we go out, we know how much it costs. I think that's given me a new perspective from when I was a younger guy working in baseball. I just thought everybody was single and everybody just went out. But now, you know, we know that mom makes the decision as to what's going to happen. And the kids are going to want to eat throughout the game. So we want to make it affordable. And we want to make it fun. So there's a free family fun zone, and we have Dollar Thursdays where there's reduced prices of concession items. We have family Sundays where the kids are free and they run the bases. We have fireworks every Friday, fireworks every Saturday in the summer. We bring in entertainment, whether it's the Superstars or the Reggie the Purple Party Dude or the Cowboy Monkeys, everyone's soon-to-be favorite.
I'm going to ask about that in a minute. Yeah, but keep going.
And it's that ambiance. You want to come to the park. You want to see Jimmy Durkin. walking up at the top of the stairs selling programs. You want to hear music. You want to smell sausage being cooked. You want to be able to get a bag of popcorn or a bag of peanuts, have a cold beer or a cold soda, and just sit back. And that's what we have is we've got a beautiful grass field. We're outside. We're cooped up in central New York for so much of the year, and it's so cold. And it's nice just to get out with your family, with your friends, with yourself, and just be in the sunshine and have that calm baseball atmosphere to go on with it.
So you've just done a great job selling me this experience. Yeah. I want to go. Great. So what's the problem? Why is attendance the lowest in the league? What's the challenge here?
Well, I think we have multiple challenges. Obviously, I think that the Chiefs have, you know, and again, this is our second year. So it's been done one way for the last 40 years. And now this is the second year of how we're doing it now, where it's getting back to promotions and getting back. We lowered the ticket price, you know, but we're charging for tickets. There's not that glut of free tickets out there. So the people that are coming and choosing to come to the ballpark are choosing to spend their hard-earned money to invest their time with us. And what's going on is that attendance is going up. We're seeing that without the Dollar Thursdays, which is our highest attendance getter, the greatest invention in the history of baseball. But last year to this point, we had $8 Thursdays. This year we've had 3 and attendance is up.
Okay.
You know, so it's going to take a little bit of time. You know, the parties are up. The Hank Sauer Room bookings are up. Corporations are finding out that it's a very affordable, fun, unique environment to have their company outings with. We just need to keep going forward, stay with the promotions, stay with the dollar value, make sure that we entertain. We have those 18 half innings. Those are our little 18 Broadway shows that we have to do in a minute and 35 seconds. Utilize that video board so that when you walk out of the stadium, you say, that was a great time. You know, when I see those smiles and I see, you know, the memories that we build, when I stand out front and I shake hands and you see the families and they just come out and they just had a great time. And when they look back and dad sits back at the end of the night and says, all right, that cost us $60 or cost us $100. And it was 4 hours with my family and my kids had a great time. My wife is happy. You know, that's a win for the Syracuse Chiefs.
You're listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO. I'm Grant Reher, and I'm talking with Jason Smorrell, the general manager of the Syracuse Chiefs. On the topic of attendance and the challenges to it, if you could relocate the stadium, where would you put it?
I'd put it right where it is.
Okay.
You know, I think that back then, I think that the timing was right to put it downtown because that was what everybody was doing. But I love the location of NBT Bank Stadium. I think that we are 10 minutes from anywhere. So you can pop on 81. You can get to 690. The mall is right next door to us. They don't seem to have any trouble getting 25 million people to go through their doors. The regional market on Saturdays and Sundays has zero problem getting 20,000 people in and out of there. The train station's there. The bus station's there. We have parking lots. Fans like to tailgate. It's in a great location, you know. So I am from Syracuse. I was always amazed at the interest in the stadium location. I thought it was silly that there's articles written every year about, you know, the stadium location. It's been 18 years. The stadium's not going anywhere. We need to start getting forward thinking about this. We need to start expanding the regional market. Downtown's coming uptown, so downtown is growing right now as we speak. The Inner Harbor is growing. The mall is obviously growing. The regional market is there. The transportation hub is there. The baseball stadium is there. I think it's in a great spot. I think people just need to keep being forward thinkers, and I think it's in a great spot.
You mentioned before in the promotions, the Cowboy Monkey Night. I do have to ask you about that. So on August 29th, I'm in for that. It's on my calendar.
That's great. That's why they're here.
Tell our listeners briefly what that entails exactly.
There's been a few acts that I've always wanted to get, and that is one of them. They are monkeys who ride dogs and herd sheep in the game, in the field during the game. It is amazing. They wear little sparkly outfits. They ride border collies. The collies do all the work. They herd some sheep.
Well, they have to stay on the collie, I suppose.
And it's absolutely amazing. So we brought them last year, and it rained for 2 hours before the game. We had about 2,000 people actually show up for the game. And I walked around and I asked people, I said, where'd you come from? They're like, oh, I came from DeWitt. I came from Baldwinsville, wherever it was. I said, was it raining? I said, oh, my God, it was pouring at our house. I was like, so why did you come out tonight? And they said, because you have monkeys riding dogs, herding sheep in the outfield. I was like, I was amazed. And then those guys, they were young guys. They were in their 20s. And I remember them and they said, this is only $5. This place is great.
So the finances of the team, there's been some very, very deep financial challenges facing this team when you took the helm. They've been widely written about. Just give me a brief overview of the depth of the problem and then what's been done to try to deal with it and address it.
Well, you know, and that's why all the changes are here. So in after the 2013 season, the team had thought they were going to lose $500,000. And by the time that the yearly financial audit came out, the team had found out by November that they had lost $1 million. Before that, the board of directors decided to make a change. And that's when there was some, you know, very well documented votes with the board of directors, and the old management team was out, and Bill Dutch, the president and CEO of the Syracuse Chiefs, you know, brought me in to be the general manager for the team. So you got to think about this going back a year and a half. This is my second year, but we're really about a year and a half into this thing. It was October of 2013. The team had lost $1 million. There was a board of directors, a new board of directors, and a general manager. So we had to restaff the entire Syracuse Chiefs, come up with a new strategic plan, a new business plan, a new marketing plan, and be ready for opening day in 6 months. And for what the board of directors did and my staff did last year was amazing. I think it was – I was thinking about it this morning, how great it was that the team was so good last year that kept that positive vibe going. And that was a huge help. Again, you couldn't control it, but it was great that it happened. So 2013 lost $1 million. After the 2014 season, we lost $250,000. So we erased $750,000 off of that. Going into this season, working again with the staff, working hard on promotions, we had a great April. We had a great May. We just got the numbers back for June. We're doing well. Attendance is up. The strategy of running it a little bit more, making good business decisions, you know, small things like charging $5 for a ticket. Sponsorships are up. Season tickets are up. Flex plans are up. Parties are up. And it's just working together. You know, I hate to think this far forward because, you know, we're a couple of rainouts away from a disaster. But if things go well, you know, maybe we close the gap after 2 years. And how amazing would that be to know that we're sticking with our plan, being fiscally prudent? The board of directors has been fantastic, and they're keeping an eye on the ball. And we meet monthly, and we just review all the decisions. And financially, the team is getting towards stability.
If you just joined us, you're listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO Public Media. And my guest is Syracuse Chiefs General Manager Jason Smorrell. When you look at the large cultural institutions in this area, it seems like, thinking about the Chiefs in the past that you're dealing with now as a struggling organization, making progress but still a struggling organization, you're in the same boat with a lot of other cultural institutions in this area, the symphony, the art museum, the newspaper. There's a pattern here. So the baseball team might be an odd colleague to put in that group. But do you folks get together and share ideas or brainstorm about what's going on in this town and how you can turn things around?
I've sat down. Obviously, we have a good relationship with the paper. I've met the Symphoria people. And we just kind of meet loosely. We all know that we're in this together. And I'm one of those guys. I believe in Syracuse. I'm from Syracuse, and I think that, you know, it is survival of the fittest. You have to go out and put your product out there. If the public wants your product, the public will buy it. If the public does not want it, they will not buy it. So at the end of the day, my job is to focus on the Syracuse Chiefs and to make sure that the Chiefs survive.
You were lured out of baseball retirement to manage this organization. So what drew you back?
Well, it's a great job. You know, it's so rewarding. The challenge is what I was looking for. You know, I'd been in baseball and I was working in just corporate America, and, you know, and there's challenges and motivations to go to work every day. But, you know, to see this monumental challenge, that's what lured me to come out, to see if we could save the Syracuse Chiefs.
And have you had one favorite day at the Chiefs ballpark so far that you could tell me about?
One replaces another, replaces the other. Currently, it is Minikiss. having little people.
Tell us what that entails.
We had Minikiss night. Little people dressed up. They are a Kiss cover band. And they were on the dugout during our happy hour. And we opened the gates, and we probably had about 1,000 people that came in early to see Minikiss. And to see Minikiss playing live on the dugout during batting practice with 1,000 people that came in to see them, some dressed up in costumes, was absolutely a dream come true. So currently, other than the original opening day was amazing, and the playoff game was amazing, the first Cowboy Monkeys Day was amazing, and now Minikiss is my new crowning achievement. Those are always the day I say I should retire tomorrow because I can do no more.
And very, very briefly, looking to the second half of July, what are some of the promos that are coming up?
Well, obviously, we have Cowboy Monkeys coming up. We have the Washington Nationals Racing Presidents coming in on Balditude Night. We're celebrating all things baldness. Last year, we celebrated all things with facial hair. This year, we're going with baldness. We have Pregnancy Night during Labor Day weekend, where we'll have craving stations. And if anybody actually goes into labor at the ballpark, they'll get a free birthday party for their child for life or until they fire me. We've got the Superstars coming in. It's just now that school's out. Now is when we have to make hay while the sun is shining. So we got lots of promotions. Go to SyracuseChiefs.com to see what they are. Again, it's affordable. It's fun. There's happy hours every Friday night. The gates are open early to see live music. There's drink specials. Watch batting practice. And if there's people out there that still just love baseball, the baseball is fantastic.
That was Jason Smorrell. Jason, thanks so much for talking with me.
Thank you so much for inviting me, Grant. I appreciate it.
You've been listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO, Conversations in the Public Interest.
The Campbell Conversations, Conversations in the Public Interest, was hosted and produced by Grant Reher, engineered by Tom Fazio, and edited by Jason Smith. Campbell Conversations is a joint production of the Campbell Public Affairs Institute at Syracuse University and WRVO Public Media. To learn more about the program or to hear previous interviews, visit wrvo.org/Campbell Conversations.